parsha that we read this morning. Pasuk says, "Yihamitzvah hazois." This mitzvah, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, which I am commanding you today, Loi Nifleisi Mimcha V'Loi Rechaikahi. It's not hidden from you. It's not far away or distant from you. Loi Bashamayim Hi. It's not in heaven that you should be able, Lema, to come with the argument, Mi Yale Lonu Hashamaimo V'Yikocheho Lonu. How can we go up to heaven and take it? V'Yishmeino, so that we can listen to it, V'Nasinu, and that we can do it. Loi Me Evil Yomhi. It's not something which is over the ocean that we should be able to argue, Lema, that we should be able to argue. How can we travel to go and to fetch it? Rather, it's very close to you, in your mouth, in your heart, to do it. There is a very famous machlokes here between the Rishonim. Basically, Rashi on one hand, the Ramban on the other hand, as to what this pasuk is referring to. The shita of the Ramban in his Pirush on Chumash is that this pasuk is referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying that the mitzvah hazois, this mitzvah of tshuva, which has been mentioned in the pasuk previous, this mitzvah of v'shavta ad Hashem aleikecha, the mitzvah of tshuva, is not something which a person can legitimately turn around and say, you can't expect me to do it because it is too difficult to do. And the question that arises here is that on the one hand the Torah tells us that the mitzvah of tshuva is something which is an easy thing to do. On the other hand, if you look in the Poskim and you try and see how practically one is meant to fulfill the obligation of tshuva, it doesn't seem to be too easy a process whatsoever. On the contrary, it seems to be quite a difficult process. The Rambam, Chavos Halvavos, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, all the Rishonim who elaborated on the theme of what are the practical parameters of tshuva, how does a person fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, what is he meant to do, basically all say, more or less, exactly the same principles as to what tshuva is. And basically the Rambam, Chavos Halvavos, and Rabbeinu Yonah all explain that the mitzvah of tshuva contains within it basically four components. There are four components which are preconditions for a person to do tshuva and to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. And if one thinks about these four preconditions that exist in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, it seems that it's not so easy at all. What are the four preconditions of being mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva? So the Rishonim say, number one, you need aziva sachet. You can't continue doing the same chet and say that I did tshuva on the chet. If you continue doing the same chet, you haven't done tshuva. So the first precondition to tshuva is to stop doing the chet, aziva sachet. The second precondition of tshuva is the yigmar beliboy shelo yaseu oid. You have to make a decision that you will not do the chet again. The third precondition which the Rishonim say in reference to tshuva is sheyischaret al ma she'asa hachet ba'avar. You have to be mischaret. You have to regret the fact that you did the chet. And the fourth component is shetzorich lehizvados pitzvosov. But you have to say vidu. You have to confess that you did the chet. However, that's in general terms. When you start getting down to specifics, it becomes even more difficult. Because the fact that yigmor beliboy shelo yaseihu oid, the fact that one of the preconditions of tshuva is that one has to make a decision that you will never do the chet again, is qualified by the Rambam with an additional phrase. The concept that a person is mechuyev to make a decision that he won't do the chet again is qualified by the Rambam, who continues this statement and says it has to be a decision sheyoyid olav yedeya ta'alumos, that the Ribbono Shel Olam theoretically could testify about this person, shelo yoshuv lezeh hachet la'olam, that his decision is such a forceful decision that he's made up his mind that he's not going to do this chet again, that the Ribbono Shel Olam can be mad about him, the Ribbono Shel Olam who is yedeya asidos, the Ribbono Shel Olam who knows what lies in the future, can be mad about this person that he taka will never do this particular chet again. And that's a precondition, according to the Rambam, to be mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva. And if that's the case, then what right do we have to say ki kori velecha adov miyayit v'vovcha v'picha la'asoysay? How can we turn around and say, well, tshuva is nothing, it's an easy thing to do? A person has to be able to regret the chet that he did and to be makabel upon himself that he will not do the chet again, to the degree that he can theoretically call the Ribbono Shel Olam to Bezdin and the Ribbono Shel Olam will testify that his decision is a legitimate decision and I can be made, that he's, the Ribbono Shel Olam kav yachal is being made, that he will never do this chet again. If the Tanna in Pirkei Avos says that, what's the definition of a gibor? HaKavish is Yitzray, somebody who has the ability to be able to be Kavish is Yitzray, that's the definition of a Gibor. And as we all know, there aren't very many Giborim around, because if there were, we'd be out of business. There aren't very many Giborim around, right, who are able to Kavish is Yitzray. So how can the Ribbono Shel Olam come along in Parshas Nitzavim and say, you know what, guys, do tshuva, it's easy, it's nothing, it's gone. Hikorev alecha adovam yoy. So one of the people who had to grapple with this problem or try to explain this problem is Reb Yitzchok in Kech Veyo. And Reb Yitzchok Blaser in Kech Veyo says the following. He says it's true that when the Rambam and the Chevas Halvavas and the Yashari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yena, when they describe the process of tshuva, they talk about the fact that there are four preconditions b'negeya to tshuva. However, says Rabbi, so you've got to understand that two of these four really have nothing at all to do with tshuva. If even if there would be no concept at all of tshuva in the world, let's assume that a person did something, there's no way in which you can rectify it. Once you did something, that's it. There's no concept of tshuva in the world, says Reb Yitzchok, even then, two of the four preconditions of tshuva would be existent. Because two of them have really nothing at all to do with tshuva. Why? Says Reb Yitzchok, because if you think for a moment, charata and Azivas Achet have absolutely nothing at all to do with tshuva. The Rambam Taka brings them in Hilchas Tshuva as preconditions of tshuva, and they are the two difficult parts of tshuva. The two difficult parts of tshuva are Charata and Azivas Achet. But they really have nothing at all to do with tshuva. Because even if there was never a concept of tshuva in the world, says Rabbi Tzul, it's obvious that the function of a person in the world is to be Mekayim Torah and Mekayim Mitzvahs. And if a person didn't fulfill his function, he didn't do what he was meant to do, in any area in life, if a person has a certain job that he's meant to do and it's expected of him to do it, and people are reliant upon him that he's going to do it and he doesn't do it, then Menschlichkeit dictates that you should regret not doing what you were meant to do. Even if you couldn't control yourself and it was an onus, and for whatever reason it may be, you couldn't fulfill that which was your obligation to do, but to have a bad feeling, have a bad conscience that you didn't do what you were meant to do, that's something which common sense dictates. You don't need tshuva to tell me that. Says Rabbi Tzul, the fact that a person who did a chet has to be oizav a chet has nothing at all to do with tshuva. The function of a person in this world is to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him to do. If he messed up, say he messed up, fine. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yachta. We all messed up. So if you mess up, what do you try and do? You try and rectify the situation. You shouldn't mess up a second time. What's that going to do with tshuva? That's normal behavior. That if a person's meant to do something and he doesn't do it, the next time round he tries to do it. What's that going to do with tshuva? Says Rabbi Tzul, therefore the only two things that are really unique to tshuva, that are really singular and are chiddush because the Torah came along and the Torah said a mitzvah of tshuva, are the other two out of the four preconditions that the Rishonim make in connection with tshuva. In other words, the only two chidushim are the fact that you have to be mekabel on lahabo, that you won't do it again, and you have to confess, you have to say out your avera that you did. Says Rabbi Tzul, that's what the pasuk says. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, I want you to know that the mitzvah of tshuva is not difficult. Says the pasuk, why? Why is it not difficult? Ki korev alecha adova miyoyt, because it's very easy for you to do it. Because all it consists of is two things. Beficha, to say vidui, ubilvavecha, and in your heart to make a decision that lahabo, you're going to behave the way you should. And those two things, no great big deal. Every person has the ability to be able to confess, to say, I did something wrong, and to be able to say, in the future I won't do it. Says Rabbi Tzul, therefore that's why the pasuk says that the mitzvah of tshuva is not difficult to do. On the one hand, he's right. He doesn't need my haskama, but on the one hand, he's right. But on the other hand, there is perhaps another element which is being missed here. And that is that notwithstanding what Rabbi Tzul says, it is not easy to do tshuva. And I'll explain to you why. Because there is a chiddush in tshuva that we seem to miss every year. And because we miss it, it's very possible that we mess up totally on the whole concept of tshuva. There is a chazal, a very famous chazal, it's a medrash, but it's a well-known chazal. And chazal tell us the following. Chazal tell us on the story that happens in Sefer Bereishis, right at the very beginning, after creation, one of the first stories in the Torah, the story of Cain and Hevel, both of them offering up korbanos to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hevel's korban is accepted, Cain's korban is not accepted, Cain kills Hevel. In connection with that story, which is told to us in the Torah, there's a chazal, there's a medrash, and the medrash says the following. The pasuk says, Vayetze Kain melifnei Hashem. The Kain went out from an audience kavyachol with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He had a meeting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He left this meeting. So Rav Chama says b'shem Rabbi Chanina bar Yitzchok that when he left this meeting with Ribbono Shel Olam, v'yatzo sameach. Kain had a meeting with Ribbono Shel Olam. He walked out of this meeting. He was dancing down the street. He was very happy. He was in a great mood. says the Medrash, Pogah by Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon met him. Adam Arishon met his son Cain. Amalai. Adam Arishon said to Cain, Ma nase bedincha. What is the Rebbeinu Shlom paskin about you? You're the murderer. You're the first person in the history of mankind who murdered somebody. What? You just appeared in front of the Rebbeinu Shlom for judgment, and I see you dancing down the road. What? But what happened here? What was the psak din? What did the court decide? Amal loy Cain. Cain says to him, Dad, no problem. Don't worry about it. It's not going to cost you any legal fees whatsoever. Says Adam Arishon to Cain, what happened? Says Cain, Asisi tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nispashati. What does nispashati mean? Nispashati is Miloshim pshora. Pshora in Hebrew means compromise. I came to a deal with the judge. I came to a deal with the Rebbeinu Shlom, nispashati. Hischil Adam Arishon mitapech haponov. Adam Arishon got all upset. Why? Ana, he said, Kach kreichi shel tshuva. This is the power of tshuva. The ani lo yisi yodeya. And I never knew. I also did an aveira. Yet from the Eitz Hadas, and I never knew that there's such a thing called tshuva, which results in compromise. Well, what's going on here? What is the tshuva and what is the compromise and what was going on here and what happened? The Netziv, in his Pirush on Chumash, is Ma'ir a Shaila. A very obvious Shaila which everybody should ask, and for some reason we read the Parsha every year and we miss it. He says the following. He says, I don't understand something. He says, the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Adam Arishon, I'm going to give you a mitzvah. One mitzvah. Don't eat from the tree the Eitz Hadas. If you eat from the tree, what's going to happen? So the Pasuk says, Mefurish, what will happen to Adam Arishon? What will be the Einish of Adam Arishon? What will be the punishment of Adam Arishon if Adam Arishon eats from the tree? What does the Pasuk say? Ki b'yayim ha'cholcho mimenu mois tomus. If you will eat from the tree, you will die. Your punishment is going to be, you'll eat the fruit of the tree, you'll drop dead. Therefore, don't eat from the tree. What happened? Obviously, what did Adam Arishon do? Adam Arishon went and he ate from the tree. Did Adam Arishon drop dead? No. Says the Netziv, why not? The Torah says, Mefurish, that the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Adam Arishon, if you're going to eat from the tree, you're going to die. Adam Arishon eats from the tree, and he doesn't die. Why doesn't he die? We don't know. Then says the Netziv, something else happens. The Rebbeinu Shlom comes to Adam Arishon and he says, did you eat from the tree? And Adam Arishon says, yeah, I ate from the tree. So what should the Rebbeinu Shlom say to him? You ate from the tree and I told you that if you eat from the tree you're going to drop dead, therefore, drop dead. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. What does it say? The Rebbeinu Shlom said to Adam Arishon, did you eat from the tree? Adam Arishon said, yeah, I ate from the tree because my wife persuaded me to eat from the tree. Says the Rebbeinu Shlom, okay. Because you listened to your wife, from the tree, which I commanded you not to eat from it. You're going to get all sorts of curses and a hair and a hair against the drasha. But what about the dropping dead? Somehow that got forgotten. And why didn't the Rebbeinu Shlom say to him, I told you that if you eat from the tree, you're going to drop dead? Instead they get into this whole parsha of Shalom Bayis. His wife told him, his wife didn't tell him, because his wife told him he did. Now that your wife told you and you listened to her, therefore, what's that going to do with anything? Says in a tziv, a mechudish de kapshat here in the psukim. Says in a tziv, what's the chiddush here? Says in a tziv, the chiddush here is the following. Had Adam Arishon heard the tzivui of the Rebbeinu Shlom, don't eat from the tree, and turned around and said, I don't care, because you, Rebbeinu Shalom, told me not to eat from the tree, but I couldn't care about you, and I'm going to eat from the tree, he would have dropped dead. He would have been amazed, and he would have dropped dead, because that's the Einish. But on a mission came with a time to the Rebbeinu Shalom. I wasn't amazed. I was a shogeg. You said, Mois Yomus, if I'm married against you, and I do against you something which you don't want me to do. Here in this situation, I was an honest. You ever seen a husband who doesn't give in to his wife? There's no such thing. So what do you want from me?
I'm a mishaged. Elisha, Hashem Asachar, and you make the shidduch, you were the shatzchan, now you're coming and you're blaming me, the sheep is biting me to eat from the tree. It's my fault, it's not my fault, says the Nativ. Says Rabbi Shalom, okay, fine. You know what? You got a taina. You got a shtick on taina, you're right. Therefore, I won't kill you. Instead, b'zeh zepecha techa lechem. You'll have to make panasa, she'll never see you again, she'll never be able to persuade you to do anything you shouldn't do, because you'll never be at home, you'll be in the office all day. No problem. Then the second chet happens. What's the second chet? The second chet is Cain kills Hevel. When Cain kills Hevel, the Mauritian says to himself, oops, we got a problem here. When I did the chet, and I had to come b'shnei Bezdin Shomaylo, I had a shtikla taina. I could tell you, it's not my fault, I was ashamed, my wife persuaded me, but Cain! Cain's got no excuse whatsoever! Cain killed Hevel, and he can't blame anybody, he's going to blame his wife had nothing to do with it. So how's he going to get out of this one? So the Mishnah's terrified. Cain goes into the Mishpat, and he comes out, he's dancing down the street, so the Mishnah says to him, well, what's going on here? What happened? You didn't have a taina. Says Cain back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't need a taina. Because, do you remember the story? He says to Adam Rishon. So Adam Rishon says to him, what story? Says Cain, the whole thing started. How did it start? It started because we brought a korban. I brought a korban and my korban wasn't accepted. Hevel brought the korban and his korban was accepted. I got upset about that. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam say to me? The Ribbono Shel Olam said to me the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, imitative, if you will mend your ways, cease. If you will not do this Aveira again, then everything will be fine. However, imloisativ, if you can continue doing the Aveira, lefetach chatos roivets. Say Chazal, what does that mean, lefetach chatos roivets? Hare chete shel oisa hiish, godush and agudush. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, then your chet is going to become much fuller and much thicker. What does that mean? It says Cain to Adam Rishon, I have what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants here. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam told me already what to do. I went to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I made a mistake. And I want to rectify the mistake, I want to do tshuva. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, no problem. No problem. We have a system. You know what our system is? Our system is very simple. Our system is imtetav seis. No problem whatsoever. We're going to give you a suspended sentence. This is the makor for the concept of a suspended sentence. You're going to get 3 years suspended sentence. No problem. If you do the Aveira again within the next year, then we won't hit you just for the Aveira that you did the second time. Then we'll hit you double. Godush umagudush. We'll thicken it and we'll load it up. If you don't do the Aveira again, imitative, if you will change your way, say so, I'll forget all about the fact that you did an Aveira. But if not, the petach atas roivets, that first chet is still wandering around in the doorway. It's there, it's hanging on. We're waiting to see what happens to you. Said Cain to Adam Rishon, I worked out the system, I understand how the Ribbono Shel Olam works. The Ribbono Shel Olam works in the following way. You do an Aveira, if you come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and you say, I'm going to do a tshuva on the Aveira, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what, no problem. I'll be moichel the Aveira, I'll wipe it out, you won't get punished. But we're going to give you 1 year to see suspended sentence. We'll delay the punishment for a year. And we'll see if Yitaka did tshuva or he didn't do tshuva. How do we know if he did tshuva or he didn't do tshuva? Because we're going to see in the course of the following year whether you're over on the same Avera again. If you're over on the same Avera again, then you'll get hit, not because we did it the second time, you'll get hit for the second time, and you'll get hit for the first time. You won't do the Avera again, we'll wipe it out completely. So tshuva has a side to it, which is very easy. All you have to do is vidui and make a decision you're not going to do it again. But it has a side in it which is difficult. Because every single Jew stands on Yom Kippur and Ne'ira and he makes decisions. There doesn't exist a Jew in the world who doesn't stand in the Ne'ira and make decisions. Every Jew last Yom Kippur made decisions. More decisions, less decisions. I won't do this again, I won't do that again. I'll try and be better in this, I'll try and be better in that. And then they finish Ne'ira, and they blew the shofar, and everybody's prancing around the bimah. The Shadab of Yerushalayim. Slicha, Kapora. Everything's fine. And then Rebbeinu Shlom says, let's wait and see. I'm Michael. I'm Mechaper. I'll wipe the slate clean. In 12 months' time. Next Yom Kippur, I'll wipe the slate clean from last Yom Kippur. But it depends what happened in the course of that year. If you chayzer back to the old Averus all over again, then who are you kidding? And then you turn around and you say, well, what's happening? Why am I falling off bikes? Why am I smashing into cars? Why am I this? Why am I that? What's going on here? What does everybody want from me? I'm breaking arms, I'm breaking ribs, I'm crushing bones. Who knows what? Because it's suspended sentences! And the year progresses, and the Rebbeinu Shlom stands there looking, and he says, this was the guy who was standing there, so, boom, boom, fatosi, fisi, fatati, boom, boom, banging away. Knows what? Liar! Chutzpah, guy stands in front of the Rebbeinu Shlom on Yom Kippur, and he lies his head off. Not Raya, look at the way he behaves between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. He just walked out of Yom Kippur. Thank you, Judge. You gave me a suspended sentence. I'm so short-sighted, I don't even think twice about it. And you spit the judge in the face. Oh, the next time you appear in court, he's going to be very nice to you. He really likes you. He really likes you. He's got a soft spot for you. You're really something for him. Are we normal? We've got exactly from today 1 week to Rosh Hashanah. We've got exactly from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur 10 days. That means we've got 17 days left on a suspended sentence. In 17 days' time, it's all over from last year's Yom Kippur. 17 days, 2 weeks and 3 days. Rebbeinu Shlom looks at us and Rebbeinu Shlom is watching us and Rebbeinu Shlom is saying, okay, you stood there last year, boom, 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 Kriya Shema, Kribitziva, Talmud Torah, boom, boom, Mavisi Chatozi Peshati, and then everybody gets all excited. Idiots! What's a game? 17 days, and Rebbeinu Shlom's watching us 24 hours, 17 days, every action we do, and he's saying, okay, you stood there last year, Yom Kippur, now it's going to click in, let's see. Think about it.